Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing this week?
Well, discovering, you know, we talk about home improvements and stuff, and going to have the joy of redoing our deck with the stuff that was supposedly impenetrable. You know, that deck restore stuff?
Yes, absolutely. I've seen that out there. Okay.
Well, it's flaking off.
Oh, gotcha. So, even the impenetrable stuff, if I can say that word, does not always last. Yeah.
So Angie and I are like, isn't this stuff supposed to be like armor?
Well, you know, the funny thing is I did some, I had done a little bit of garage epoxy floors there. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes we talk a little bit on the air about for sale by owners versus using a real estate professional like myself for selling homes. Well, when I had moved into my house, I had done the epoxy garage floors, and they were okay, but I wouldn't say they looked exactly like they look at the Parade of Homes.
you did them yourself?
And yeah, I had done them myself the first time. And so, you know, I think over the course of like 5 years, your tire track, where the tires go in and out the garage, had worn off. So I finally bit the bullet and said, you know what? I'm going to hire the professional. So just a quick shout out. I did have Jeff Boucher from Garage Solutions come out. And the new floors are absolutely rock star status. Cool. And I will say they are fantastic, and they look a little bit different than how I did them. You know, and rightfully so. He has like this really cool 7-step process with all these layers. I think mine was a 2-step process, so that might be part
of
the problem.
Would you have to move everything to one side of the garage, do that, let it dry?
I had to just completely storage unit in another portion of the house and get that baby emptied out. And I mean, they came in and did some serious prep work, professional caulking, sandblast, the stuff. I mean, I can't say enough. Their crew and him is just fantastic. So I'm going to have you come over and check it out, Tom.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It's pretty cool. So yes, McKay, I can sympathize with your home improvement project.
The Mayhem commercial, the do-it-yourself. That's what I feel like now.
No, sometimes that can happen. And we have great service providers we work with a lot that we can recommend for sure. Folks, chiming in there, as always, that is our resident in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you doing?
You know, I'm fantastic. The weather wasn't as nice this last week, but it's still okay, you know, getting closer to spring.
As we got a little bit of that wind and rain, I think we were spoiled early on. I came in the house, of course, the windiest day was garbage day last week, and I came in the house and I closed the door, and I go, now that's the Tri-Cities March I know and love.
So, that's what we're having right now.
I think we're definitely got a little bit of that. But I will tell you, it has not cooled down the housing market at all. So,
you know, to add to that story, Lance, I have a big property. You've seen it.
Yes.
Several acres. And last weekend was my weekend to spray my weeds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out in the pasture. And I looked at my phone. Okay, it's not going to rain until Tuesday.
Yes.
What happened?
I will tell you, because I was doing the same process.
4 hours later.
Absolutely.
Brutal.
Yeah. I had put some of my work off until Sunday, and I woke up Sunday morning, and I was like, this does not look good. I mean, I was busting it to get my fertilizer and everything on before that afternoon rain hit. And then it hit pretty hard. Last Sunday.
Hopefully it was on long enough. We'll have to see.
We'll be okay. We'll be okay for sure. So before we jump into today's topic, we always like to start off with a little bit of celebrity crazy real estate story. I had to miss last week's because we had so much material. But I tell you what, this week is pretty interesting. So Keith Richards has a Fifth Avenue apartment that is absolutely stunning. He did it all white furniture, white walls, white cabinets with some dark hardwood floors. I tell you what, it's a four-bedroom, four-bath, absolutely stunning home. They bought it for $10.5 million just 2 years ago. Can you imagine $10.5 million for an apartment, four-bedroom, four-bath? And now reselling just two years later at $12.23 million. So pretty interesting. That's a Sotheby's listing on the market right now in New York City. And it still amazes me when I read those stories. The price per square foot that they are paying there is absolutely insane.
Now, if he'd left the Rolling Stone stuff up on the walls, you could say that's one time where you wouldn't refurbish the house for a showing.
Yeah, absolutely. You might want to save a little bit of that stuff for showings there and staging. On the local front, one of the things we've been seeing a lot is it's still a fantastic time when you're looking at rates and going through stuff as far as cost of buying. And one of the things Tom had sent me over a message that said, hey, for this week's show, Lance, let's go through and take a look at some of the costs associated with buying a house. And then we can even talk a little bit on the flip side after the break on the selling side of things. So we wanted to go through what type of costs are associated with buying a house. Last week, Tom and I looked a little bit. We kind of delved into our particular jobs and how we get paid and how that is split up in the different instances. But now as a customer and a client, when you're looking to purchase your house, what type of costs are we looking at on the purchase side? So one of the biggest questions I always get, and when Tom came up with this topic, I was like, oh, that's a fantastic topic, because I'll tell you what, the number one question I get on the buy side when we meet with new clients, and a lot of times first-time home buyers, they'll come to us, we'll be talking to them on the phone, they'll go to Zillow, they'll go to our website, and they'll send us a message and say, we absolutely see the value in what you're telling us. We need somebody with experience. We're first-time home buyers. We've never done this before. We don't want to make a rookie mistake in purchasing a home. So we want you to help us and be our agent, guide us through this process. What does that cost me as a home buyer? And one of the things that we always say, and we always say, is you might be surprised on the purchase side of the transaction. Our services to you as the buyer are free. And people are always like, well, free, that's crazy. How can that be? And the reason that is the way our system is set up in the real estate world, commission-wise, is generally, and this can be different, but I'm going to say 95% of the time when you're dealing with a real estate agent in the Tri-Cities market, that commission that buyer's agent is being paid is actually paid for by the seller. And when you really get technical about it, in many instances, it's actually paid for by the other real estate agent. Because what that real estate agent does when they're representing a seller is they contractually contract with the seller to sell their house for a certain percentage. And then they take a portion of that percentage, the agent themselves or that real estate company brokerage, they offer it to all of us other agents working with buyers as incentive to come and show the house and sell it. So on the buy side, that's when you're getting off cheap on that side. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, someday you're going to have to sell that house, and that's how that cycle goes. And so when you sell that house, you will pay the bigger percentage, and then that split, you'll then be offering that to the buyer's agents. So for a first-time home buyer in that situation, a lot of times we'll go through that explanation, and they'll be like, oh, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how that worked. I thought that was part of my closing costs. And sometimes there can be a gap. Yes, sometimes there can be some commission that a buyer pays, but a lot of times it's a very small amount. Some people write what they call commission agreements with the buyer that says, I'm going to search for you for all houses in the Tri-Cities, and because of that, you are going to agree to pay me 2.5%. And so, but you subtract backed out of that, any cooperating commission that will be paid. So maybe they find a house, the other agent only offers them, for example, 2%, but you have an agreement as the buyer to pay your agent 2.5%. Then as the buyer in that particular scenario, you would make up that other 0.5% as a buyer or a small fee there. So, but that is the rare case versus the normal case. 95% of the time, that commission's going to be paid by that other agent. And so to utilize our expertise, our services, our knowledge in the industry to help you find, search, look for a home, write and negotiate those contracts, and then give you advice through the home inspections, negotiating inspections, and navigating that to closing. On the real estate perspective side of things, that part is free. And so a lot of people do not realize that or know that.
Yeah, people come in all the time, Lance, and I ask them, who's your agent? And they say, oh, you know, I'm just going to kind of look online or on Craigslist or Zillow. And then a lot of people, just like you said, they don't understand that, well, the seller is going to pay the realtor fees. So it's like a no-brainer to work with an agent, have someone representing you and in your corner.
Absolutely, and that's great advice. So that's our number one cost, and so that line I was able to write down free. So that one, that one's not bad at all.
I don't have any free ones.
Okay,
online.
Yes, I figured. I'm stealing your thunder here a little bit. I didn't mean to do that. The number two thing that comes up next for us is when you're purchasing a house is the next thing that we'll need to have is at the time of writing a contract, we're going to have what's called earnest money. And that is basically, in general terms, that is a deposit that credits to you, the buyer, at closing, if you go through with the sale, towards your down payment or closing costs. But that is a basically deposit and a good faith estimate to hold the house. So you're going to put that earnest money down, say, I'm serious, I have this $1,000 or I have this $4,000, and I'm going to put this with my offer. So at the time of writing that offer, you're going to have talked to your lender, and Tom's going to talk to us on his side about what he's going over with people there. And you're going to have that earnest money check to be able to put down on the house to hold the house. You're going to want to talk with your agent. That is a varying amount of what is appropriate and how much you want to put down. And that is a specific conversation based upon the price of the property, local customs, maybe the strength of your offer you're trying to put forth. Sometimes there's a lot of discussions that you need to have to say, what amount of earnest money is appropriate? A lot of times people will look and say 1%. So $150,000 house, we should have $1,500 earnest money. But that's not in writing or set in stone anywhere. That's kind of a local custom that we see people sort of expecting, but it's an individual amount. Maybe someone wants to, maybe there's four offers on a property and they want to show they're really serious. They have the cash, they have the ability. So they put down $5,000 earnest money instead of $1,500. So a lot of discussions there, but that's the next item when you're going through that process that you're going to have to be ready to put down on the house. And then shortly after that, a couple days after that contract is ratified, the next cost that a buyer is going to have associated is we're going to need to order a home inspection. 9 times out of 10, we're doing home inspections. If I had to throw out just a real general number on how much that home inspection is going to be, and it goes up based upon higher square footages, but on average, our home inspections in the Tri-Cities are going to range anywhere from $400 to $600. So right in that range. Some are a little more if the square footage is higher. Some are a little more if there's a well that needs to be tested. But if you're just your general run-of-the-mill 2,000 square foot house in the middle of a subdivision, you can count on about $500 to have that home professionally inspected.
Lance, I want to hear, what do you tell your client who comes to you and says, well, I walked through the house and, you know, I've owned homes before and I think everything's fine. I'm just going to skip to inspection.
Well, I tell them a couple things. I tell them, number one, I'm so glad you hired me to help you. Uh-huh. And the second thing that I tell them is that this is likely going to be one of your biggest financial transactions that you make. When you look across the U.S. and what people, it's very rare that people will spend $150,000 on anything else. Yep. You know, whether that be a car or an apartment, you know, apartment building. In general, it's one of the biggest financial investments purchases that you'll make. And to do that, I think $500 to ensure that you're not making a huge mistake is great, great insurance. Mm-hmm. The other thing I tell clients like that all the time is I see home inspections find issues in new construction. And I tell them, if you've seen what I've seen, you would never consider not having an inspection.
Hmm.
There's a lot of times where...
Even on new construction.
I mean, I've seen gas fittings not hooked up properly where the, you know, one of the installers has missed that and they've turned the gas on and they've missed an O-ring. And so there's gas leaking out of the furnace in the attic.
Hmm.
You know, I've seen those things happen in new construction. I've seen in new construction, I've seen forms not removed that cause wood destroying organisms in crawl spaces. So even in new construction, I'm recommending that third party inspector to come through the house. It's just, there's just too much money on the line.
You know, Lance, I'm so glad you said that because I'm not going to name names, but there was an agent one time that was representing a builder and I recommended to my client that they get an inspection on this new build. And this agent called me and says, I cannot believe you would recommend getting an inspection. You don't need that with this builder. And I said, well, you know, my advice for this builder is the same for every other builder. You get an inspection.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, too, it depends on the builder. Even if that's a builder that's done hands-on the whole way, a lot of builders hire subs for mm-hmm. plumbing or for this HVAC. You know, this was an HVAC sub that had hooked up this gas furnace. So, you know, they don't necessarily always have control through that whole process. And yeah, I'm exactly right there with you. Yes, it's a little additional cost for the buyer, but it's one of those costs that I think is necessary. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of homes. I'll buy homes for investment or I'll buy homes and fix and resell personally. And those I am always having inspected. I mean, this is the same advice that I give myself. And I don't necessarily have them look at every possible thing, but even if I'm tearing out appliances or a kitchen and redoing a majority of it, I'll still have an inspector go in and say, please tell me the roof's okay. Please tell me you don't see fire damage. Mm-hmm. Please tell me the electrical panel is okay. And there's no mold and there's no termites. So, yep, that is a great, great question. So on our end, we get to that point when now we are through the earnest money portion and we are through the home inspection portion. And when we come back from the break, just like we would in a transaction, at this point and even before, I'm going to be handing this deal over to Mr. Tom Coyne, and he's going to be running with it on his side. And we're going to talk about some of the costs the buyer's going to see on the finance side when you're looking at purchasing a home.
Right here on News Talk 870.
To the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been kind of walking through the buyer cost associated with purchasing a home. Just letting buyers know, I know with rates where they've been, there's a lot of buyers out there looking. It's really just kind of this amazing time with the cost and the rates where they're at to look at purchasing. Granted, yes, we've had a lower inventory market, but there's some great new construction options. And spring inventory is on its way. We're starting to see the listing inventory finally creep up a little bit. Granted, it's a minuscule amount. We're still right about 600 homes on the market, but at least we didn't go the wrong direction the last 2 weeks. So with that, Tom said, hey, let's walk through some of the cost of purchasing so people know what to expect. I went through pre-contract side before the break, and now I'm going to turn it over to Tom and say, what is involved with a loan and purchasing with a buyer cost?
Well, Lance, I'm glad we're talking about this because this is something I do every day is go through these quotes. And I have printed out in front of me just a generic quote here that we're going to go through and talk about. But the first one I want to discuss is your loan discount or loan credits. Now, every rate, and what people don't understand is with most lenders, you can select almost any rate you want. There's going to be a range of about 1.5% in rates that a buyer can select. Now, we always kind of start at what's called the par rate. And a par rate is going to have no fee for that interest rate and no credit back for that rate. As you go down in interest rate, your costs for that rate are going to rise. And as you go up in interest rate, your costs are going to go down and you actually start getting credits back. Par is kind of like meet in the middle where it's just zero. You're not paying anything extra. You're not getting credits back. Now, every situation is different with what makes most sense. If you think about it, in the short run, it's going to make more sense to have lower costs. And the reason is that you're going to save more money right now today, but because you'd have that higher interest rate, you're going to pay a little bit more per month. Where consequently, if you plan on having a mortgage for 20 years, it may make more sense to maybe look at buying down an interest rate and paying more points. You're going to pay more upfront, but in the long run, you'll save more. So that's something we go through with every client to see what makes most sense in their situation. And those numbers, they're different on every day and for every rate and for every loan amount. So when you call in and you say, Tom, what's your rate today? My first question is going to say, I don't know, but what do you want your closing cost to be at? And then we go from there because your rate is really going to depend on how much you want to pay in fees. The next fee we talk about is your credit report fee. This is generally under $25. It's in that range. But of course, we have to pull your credit report to do your loan. And then we see an appraisal fee. Now, appraisers in this area charge a various amounts for the type of property it is. And obviously, the more work they put into it, the more that they're going to charge. So if you have a duplex investment property that they have to do a rent schedule for us to tell us what the market rents are and inspect both units, it's going to cost you more to get that appraisal than it would to do a single family home that you're going to live in. So they generally, though, land on average under $600. Now, the next fee we talk about is tax registration. This is a small fee under $100. This is so we can get your 1098s prepared every year for you. The 1098 form is kind of like a W-2. You get it at the end of the year, and it reports to you how much interest you paid on your mortgage and how much taxes you paid for that last year. And then you use that form to go get that deduction, hopefully, on your tax returns. The next two fees we always come to are escrow and title fees. And we've had escrow and title companies on the show a lot, Lance. You know, if you wanted to play it really safe and conservative, I would say the average escrow and title fees are around $500 each. So that's a really safe, conservative number. Escrow handles all the closing of the transaction. So how it's going to work is we'll get your loan all ready to go, get your paperwork sent to the escrow company. You go in and sign your loan documents with escrow. The seller signs there. And then escrow helps transfer that ownership into your name. So they handle the closing process. And then that title policy, you know, we just want to make sure there's no defects on title. There's no liens. There's no judgments against the seller. There's no outstanding assessments on the property. We want to make sure that you get clean title when you buy the home. So very, very good value for what you're paying for it. The next fee we come to is recording fee. That's with the county. That's to go record your deed of trust. They usually charge $165, $200 for that. And then our flat fee on every transaction is $995. So except on construction loans, we charge $1,495. And then the last two are flood cert and wire fees. Those are less than $40. So as I went through all those fees, you saw that every one of them except one came from somebody else other than the bank. So there's all these different parties in a transaction, and they all have their role to do. And of course, they have to get paid for their services. So if you're trying to say, well, what are my fees if I want no points? Generally, as just a rough estimate, rule of thumb, you should be under $3,000 in third-party fees altogether. Now, the next section we come to is what's called prepaids. Prepaids is what it takes to prepay your taxes, insurance, and mortgage interest. So you're going to go get an insurance policy from your insurance agent, and they're going to tell me what it costs for 1 year. At closing, we're going to pay that full first year up front. Now, some people get confused by this and they say, well, I'm going to pay it monthly, so how come I'm paying it full year up front? Well, when you pay it monthly, we don't turn around and send that check straight to the insurance agent that month. You're going to pay the first year up front, and then every month you're going to pay one extra month of your homeowner's insurance. That money is pulled out of your payment and held in an escrow account that we hold in service for you. And when you pay it once a month, every month for 12 months, so come 12 months from today, 12 months from when you bought the house, when insurance comes due again, we now have enough money in that account to go pay for your insurance for you. Taxes work similarly. Depending on the month that you close, it's going to dictate how many months of taxes that we need to collect. Because we need to make sure this time of the year now, we're, you know, taxes are due in April and October. So likely you're going to be closing after taxes are paid for the first half of the year in April. So we start looking at how many months of taxes do we have to collect so there's enough to pay them come October 1st when they're due. And that number, I'm not even going to quote you a number on roughly what it could be, because taxes vary greatly depending on the property. You know, one house, you may pay $100 a month for taxes, and one you may pay $500 a month for taxes. So it really depends on the home you're buying and, of course, your insurance. And the last one, though, in prepaids is prepaid interest. Let's say you're closing on April 20th. On April 20th, there's going to be, I don't know, how many days are in April? 30?
Let's say 30.
Yep. So you'd have roughly 10 days left in the month. So you'd pay 10 days of interest up front. Reason is closing April 20th, your first payment's not going to be May 1st. Its first payment's going to be June 1st.
Okay, that makes sense.
When you make your payment in June, you're covering May's interest. But you got the house in April, so you got to pay the rest of April up front. So depending on what day of the month you close, is going to depend on how many days of prepaid interest you're going to pay. Some people say, well, what's the best day to close? Well, by the time you make your first payment, it's going to be a wash. So either your payment's sooner and you pay less interest up front, but your payment's sooner, or you pay more interest up front and your first payment's further away. So by the time you make your first payment, it's all a wash. And then those are all basically your closing cost prepaids that you're going to see on a transaction. Now, certain, FHA loans, for example, you're going to have a funding fee. So that funding fee is a fee that FHA charges. It's generally 1.75%, and that number is, or that fee is rolled into your loan. So you don't have to pay it out of pocket, but it is a fee that you should account for. VA also has a funding fee. That fee with VA depends on whether you were active service member or whether you were a reservist. Have you used a VA loan before or not? And are you considered disabled at all through them? So there's a lot of different moving parts, a lot of fees. And I think you kind of got the good feeling that it really depends on your type of loan and your situation. So we use quotes all day long. If you want a quote on your home purchase, I'd love to work one up for you.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point there with how you can play with those rates a little bit. I like how you'll give people scenarios to say, well, if you want a little lower rate and some more cash up front, maybe you're going to be in this house a long time. Or maybe it's just going to be a couple years and you'd rather, you know, keep your fees low and your rate a little bit higher. So,
well, Lance, 9 times out of 10, you know, if you go to our website, for example, we're probably going to be quoting the rate that's around a 1% fee to get that interest rate. And I think that's pretty standard for most banks. But when people come in and we're doing that break-even math, most people elect to take a higher interest rate and lower costs.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it's very specific to what you're looking at and doing there. But that gives a really good aspect of what goes on there. Now, when they're in that transaction with you for like when you ordered the appraisal and stuff, is there an amount of those rates in general that the client pays up front before closing?
Yeah, we like to collect for the appraisal up front. And then that appraisal will get credited back to you at closing. Now, that's a case-by-case basis. And let's say a client is just kind of strapped for cash. Sure. If we need to make some special arrangements with them so they don't pay for the appraisal up front, then we can waive that and then just collect for it at closing.
But in general, that's the only fee up front that you're looking at prior to.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, that's good for people to know when they're trying to budget a cash and where to be at.
And a lot of times, you know, when people, let's say you're selling a house, buying another one, that money for all these closing costs, they don't get paid up front. So a lot of times it just comes from maybe the proceeds of the sale of your house. It happens automatically and you don't ever actually write a check.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good point there. So before we run out of time, because we've talked about the cost of purchasing, I wanted to get some new listings out there. Still, there's a lot of people looking. We just put on some great new product. Number one, this is a great little house in Pasco, 8416 Wembley Drive, 3-bed, 2-bath Rambler, great, great West Pasco neighborhood, beautiful laminate hardwood floors, formal living room, 1575 square feet, open concept, big space. spacious kitchen and breakfast bar with a dining nook. You got gas fireplace in the family room. Master suite has a private bath with dual sink vanity, separate shower. Absolutely fully fenced park-like backyard with RV parking, and that's coming in at $192,500. Hard to find all of that those amenities in West Pasco for under $200,000. So that was 8416 Wembley. Great new listing. Pick number two, 1700 Goldfinch Court. This is a well updated four-bedroom, two-bath home, and this is out in desirable West Richland. It's on a cul-de-sac, so low traffic, 1,900 square feet, slate tile entry, gorgeous laminate wood flooring, big living room with fireplace, another great bright kitchen, stainless steel appliances, completely updated bathroom with tile everywhere, and you've got a huge fourth bedroom on the lower level. So it's absolutely a great setup. Another fully fenced backyard with deck, and that's priced at $215,000. So to get into that West Richland market off of Bombing Range up there for $215,000, that's another great, great property. Pick number three, this is 3905 West 42nd, and this is a big, big grand home. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath house with panoramic views, soaring ceilings, 4,000-square-foot house, beautiful formal living room, built-ins, gas fireplace, gourmet kitchen. You've got granite-topped island, gas range, a great, great master that has a private balcony and a sitting area with a fireplace. And then you've got a huge 25x20 bonus room with a wet bar in it. Hmm. Now, that price coming in that neighborhood at $389,900. Hmm. So there is new inventory on the market. We're constantly right now going on appointments. We have a huge pipeline of new homes coming on the market. With a tight inventory market like that, if you're interested in some of this inventory that's even going to be in our pipeline or coming up, it's going so fast right now, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We'll get you on our list to work with our buyer's agents that are out there just busting away to find some of this new inventory right before it comes on the market and when it comes on the market. We had three homes in the last week that each had over three offers on them.
Wow.
So you got to kind of have everything in line with Tom, your pre-approval letter ready to go, and then be ready to act. So
otherwise, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's absolutely just one of those deals. If you really want to find a house, get a hold of us. We can walk you through some of these costs we talked about today, and we would love to help you out. That's kenmoreteam.com. And Tom, how can people get your online application done?
TomCoinHomeLoans.com.
Between those two, you should be ready to go out, purchase a house, and we'd love to help. As always, we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.